Thank you all again. I'm Gwen Wright. I'm the planning director here in Montgomery County, and I want to really, on behalf of Garrett Knapp with the National Center for Smart Growth and the University of Maryland Urban Planning Department, really thank you all for coming. I have found this to be a very exciting couple of days. The presentations have been, as we promised at the outset, they've been thought-provoking. Some of them have been provocative. And all of them have at least demonstrated to me what an amazing resource of people we have here in the Washington area and in Montgomery County. I have never seen so many smart people in one place at one time, and they all have been very generous with their time in terms of contributing ideas and thoughts and experiences. So I think it's been a very exciting couple of days, and then the proof will be in the implementation. The proof will be in the pudding if we can actually implement some of these great ideas. And as we said at the outset, you know, the goal is moving Montgomery County forward. So let's figure out how we can implement some of these great ideas and move the county forward. One of those great ideas that's been out there and that is part of the implementation of moving Montgomery County forward is the rewrite of our county zoning code. And we're very privileged today to have Francois Carrier here to talk about that project. Francois has been for the last 4 years the chair of the Montgomery County Planning Board. And this project, the zoning code rewrite, has been of special interest to her. It is really, I think, in large part due to her leadership on the planning board that we have been able to get this project moving through to a successful endpoint. Before her time on the planning board, she was a hearing examiner for Montgomery County and a practicing lawyer before that. So she brought a wealth of knowledge about zoning and about regulatory practices to the job here, and it has been very valuable in informing the work that we've done on the zoning code. But I am very pleased, very privileged to introduce Francois Carrier, and I hope you will give her some greeting.
Thank you very much, Gwen. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm delighted to see how many people actually stuck it out for the last session on a Saturday. This is very impressive. About five times as many people as I thought would be here. So we have spent the last 4 years rewriting our zoning code. Really, I guess it started in 2009, so it's been a long project. Actually started before I got on the planning board, but Gwen is right that this is hard to believe, but this is actually one of the reasons that I wanted to be the chair of the planning board, because I thought that the opportunity to get rid of our cumbersome old zoning code and write a really great one was a terrific thing for us, and that I could help out because I do have some background in zoning, and I think zoning is fascinating. There's no detail too detailed for me, so I've loved this project. I can't say that all of my fellow planning board members enjoyed every bit of it as much as I did. There were a lot of hours spent on it, but I certainly did. So I'll give you a rundown. This is a brief history of the process. It started in January 2009 with a document called Zoning Discovery. And early in 2009, the planning board created a panel called the Zoning Advisory Panel, which had a variety of people on it. It had some citizens, it had some local land use lawyers, it had a few developers, our own Garrett Knapp, who's been a huge part of this conference, was on it. And the ZAP met faithfully every month for, I don't know, years. 3 years, was it, Pam? And there were also committees of the ZAP that met during the day to talk about specific areas and really provided a lot of important input for the staff who were busy writing the draft of the document. So we went on to have an outline and open houses and went through several drafts. Finally, we gave a draft to the council in May of 2013 after the planning board had reviewed it. You'll see that the planning board review went from September to May. It's a lot of review. We had a tremendous number of meetings, public hearings, a lot of discussion. We took it very seriously. We really looked at a lot of substantive issues that the staff was raising of you know, there were some choices to be made. And so we really worked on it very hard. The council committee that worked on it also worked hard on it. You'll see that went from June to December. They met on it all summer, every Friday in June, July, and August, and then into the fall. So a lot of effort. Our outreach was extensive, lots of public meetings, public hearings, lots of stuff on our website. Still lots of stuff on our website. If you don't get enough from my talk, you can go to the website and get all the information you could possibly think of on our ZTA, our zoning rewrite. So, basic question, why did we do this? Montgomery County is changing. It's getting more diverse in terms of demographics. We are officially a majority-minority county as of the last census. We are also growing a lot. Between 2010 and 2030, we're estimated to add 78,000 households and 167,000 new jobs. We're also very diverse geographically, as I'm sure you all know. We have a great big rural area, which we're very proud of. We have very large, established, lovely suburban communities, and we have growing urban communities as well. So we have a lot of different types of communities to cover in one zoning code. And the old zoning code didn't really do that very well. It was last fully updated in 1978, and it grew in this accretive process since then with innumerable zoning text amendments. It got to 1,200 pages, more than 400 footnotes. No one should have a zoning ordinance that big. It became unwieldy, difficult to use, difficult to understand, and a lot of ambiguities, inconsistencies. Even for an experienced zoning lawyer, it could be difficult to wade through it to figure out the answer to a particular question if you were trying to figure out how something could be done or whether it could be done on a piece of property. And it doesn't need to be that hard. So we set about to change that. And the vision for the new zoning ordinance was to make it easier to use, more forward-thinking, to encourage better development. That's at the bottom of it. We are increasingly going to be focused on infill development because, you know, the great big tracts of land have been mostly used up. So the quality of that development becomes even more important in the infill context. We also wanted to put an emphasis on supporting our master plans. Master plans are taken very seriously in this county. We work very hard on them. In recent years, we have changed their character in some ways. They have become somewhat less detailed, a little bit more focused on the bigger picture, trying to build in a little more flexibility. And we're also working now on having smaller master plans covering smaller geographic areas, which will also create more flexibility. So we try to have a balance between the things we need to encourage good redevelopment and the things we need to live up to the longstanding tradition in Montgomery County of protecting the character of our existing neighborhoods. So that was one of the overarching themes of what we were doing. And the mantra became modernize, clarify, and simplify. That's how we were aiming to get to the goals that we set out for ourselves. To modernize, we had some neighborhood protections. I'll show you a graphic in a little bit that is one of the main ones that I think is terrific. We set out some thresholds for site plan so that more developments will have to come to the planning board for site plan, which we think will improve the quality of those developments. We didn't do a lot of changes in the uses, but we did do some mostly to try and focus the regulation of uses based on their intensity. In the old zone, we had some very, very small uses, or uses very individualized, like flower shop, rather than just retail establishment. We had 121 different zones. We've now gone down to 40-something. And we had pages and pages and pages of uses. We've consolidated a lot of them. We had about 10 different kinds of office uses, for example. Some of them were very similar to one another, but they were created for particular needs that came up over the time of the several decades that of the life of that zoning code. So we consolidated them into a smaller number of office uses with more distinct definitions, easier to distinguish, to regulate them based on what their likely impact would be on the neighborhoods around them. Same thing, for instance, with residential care facilities. We no longer, in the new code, distinguish between residential care based on what kind of person, whether it's a senior or a disabled person. Also, daycare facilities. Same kind of regulation for child daycare or senior daycare. The impacts are very similar on the neighborhood, based really on how many people are being cared for. So that's the kind of regulation that we put in. We did improve some of the sustainability aspects of the zoning ordinance. We reduced the parking requirements in the places where we have public parking available, encouraging structured parking. We are requiring some more green aspects to surface parking lots. So all of those are intended to increase the environmental sustainability of our code. And we have a whole new scheme for floating zones, which I'll talk about more in a little while. Clarifying, we have more graphics in the plan. The old one was in WordPerfect, believe it or not. Very limiting in terms of putting in anything in terms of graphics or illustrations. Of course, the words are what matter in the end in a zoning code. That's the law. But the illustrations can help people to understand what the words mean. Sometimes words alone are a little bit difficult, and different people understand things differently, and for many people the graphics are a huge help. So we have a lot more graphics in this code. We have delineated between the Euclidean and floating zones. The old zoning ordinance, it was a little tricky to tell which ones were Euclidean, meaning that the council placed them on the land, and which ones are floating, meaning that they float above the county and individual property owners can request placement of that zone on their land. In the new code, it's crystal clear, it's just written down. These are in one category, these are in the other. We have a family of zones called the CR zones. The CR stands for commercial residential. We also have commercial residential town and commercial residential neighborhood. Those predate this new code, but we have expanded their use. Assuming that the county council follows through on its adoption of the language of the code, which they did in March, assuming that they also rezone as we have recommended, which they're going to decide on this summer, we will see a broader use of those, that family of CR zones, and some zones that were modeled on the same design, a series of employment zones. The CR zones, the bigger ones, CR and CRT, they have a very low standard method density, 0.5. If you want to go higher than that, you have to go to an optional method of development, which requires you to provide public benefits you have to add up a certain number of points to get to your full density. And there's a long list of things that can be public benefits. It's really an effort to provide a little structure around the negotiation that happens for what developers are going to provide in exchange for getting approval for various densities and heights. We have quite extensive protections for legal non-conforming uses and existing approvals. In fact, it got really extensive when it got up to the council, even more extensive than we had suggested. We thought 15 years would be good. They made it 25. So we will be working with the old zoning ordinance for some time to come in some cases. Simplify. Now, this is my favorite part of the new code, is the use table. Currently, we have a different use table for each type of zone. each category of zone in our zoning code. So the residential zones have one use table. Commercial zones have another use table. Agricultural zones have another use table. So the use tables take up an enormous number of these 1,200 pages that we have. And they go on and on and on, each one for pages, because of the number of uses that we have. So we now have one use table that's probably under 10 pages long. All the zones fit across a single sheet of paper. Of course, we hold the paper this way, because that way it fits. And you can, the uses are organized into categories that are easy to understand. And for each use, there is a section number. If you're looking at it on paper, you can go right to that section to see what the regulations are for that use. If you're looking at it electronically, it's a hyperlink, so you just click on it, and it'll take you to understand what the definitions are and the regulations that pertain to that use. So it's so much easier to use than the old code, so much more organized. And it even has some color, so look at that, it's modern. We don't have any footnotes. It was a goal to start off footnote-free. I don't know how long it will stay that way. Lawyers love footnotes. Someday, you know, we will see footnotes added in zoning text amendments, but at least we started off without them. We found a structure that worked without them. We have a very consistent outline format, and we really worked hard to use plain English so that the average person who might have an interest in our zoning ordinance would have a fighting chance of being able to understand it. What's new? Very few changes in our agricultural, rural, and residential zones. We changed the name of the zone that covers our agricultural reserve. It used to be called the RDT zone, Rural Density Transfer. We changed it to Agricultural Reserve. Seemed simpler, it says what it is. We did consolidate similar uses, as I explained a few minutes ago, so that we have easier to understand and regulate sets of uses. We did make some changes in the CR family of zones. We revised some of the uses because of the consolidation that we were making. We created some development standards for the standard method of development that we found over time were needed. Things that when we wrote the zone originally in 2009, we didn't quite get everything in there. And we did very minor adjustment of benefit points. The council wasn't very fond of some of the suggestions we made regarding benefit point changes, so we didn't do as much in that as we would have liked, but maybe someday we'll get to that. We created some new employment zones. They are modeled on the CR zones. One of the key things about the CR zones that I didn't mention is that they specify for each property what the density is, how much commercial density you can have, how much residential density, and the height. So rather than being by zoning district, the height and the density are done on an individual property basis. And that really allows for more individualized attention to what we think the likely uses of particular properties, and will help a great deal as we move forward in our master plans. We have been using these zones already in our master plans, and they provide a finer tool for us to use in the master plan recommendations that lead to that zoning. In the employment zones, some of them do not have the same urban design standards as the CR zones. The CR zones focus on things like bringing the buildings up to the street to create an urban form that's friendly to pedestrians. Some of the employment zones are really going to be in parts of the county where we don't expect there to be a lot of pedestrians. They are suburban areas that are auto-dependent, likely to stay that way, so we're not imposing the same level of urban design requirements in those zones. And some of those new employment zones require public benefit points if you go to the optional method. Some of them only have a standard method of development. Our industrial zones are modeled on the current ones. We did make some minor changes to provide some increased flexibility. We had feedback from owners of industrial property that sometimes they needed to be able to put in something like a restaurant to serve the folks who work in that area, we did it on a limited basis. We limited the percentage of your development that could be non-industrial in nature, because we don't want to lose the industrial uses that we have. We don't want to make that land unavailable to industrial uses. At the same time, we wanted to provide flexibility to cut down on people wanting to rezone industrial property because it didn't have enough flexibility. We have a whole new set of floating zones. They are modeled on our new set of Euclidean zones. So we have floating CR zones, floating employment zones, floating industrial zones. They have very clear limits on density. To increase the density, you have to meet a bunch of prerequisites, and they continue to require the compatibility and master plan findings that we currently require for floating zones. Now, here's a really great thing that we've added in terms of neighborhood compatibility. We sometimes have master plan recommendations that will say buildings on a certain street that are commercial area that is across the street from or backs onto residential properties should be stepped back in height. The height should step back to create a little bit of a buffer, but they don't actually specify how much. So then there's a lot of discussion about, well, how much is reasonable? Well, the new code creates a standard for that. If you're next to or across from residential and you're building non-residential, there's a 45-degree angular plane, and your building height cannot protrude into that plane. So it creates a standard that's easy for everybody to understand, a little more certainty for developers in what they can do, easier review process. As I noted earlier, we have changed the site plan threshold. So now, if you are depending on whether you're what you're abutting and confronting, you are more likely to have to go through a site plan review. One change that the council made that was interesting was we had recommended zoning properties to the maximum height in the zone they previously were in. And the council changed that to zone them to the maximum height recommended in the master plan, which in many cases was lower than their previous zone. So that was a pretty significant change. The council felt that we should really stick much more closely to the master plans. So there are definitely buildings out there that became non-conforming, and they're covered by our grandfathering. But it was an interesting decision. And that's the end of my formal presentation. I did have one thing I wanted to show you, if I can find it. We have this really fabulous tool. It doesn't seem to work in this building, so you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit. But when it does work, on the left-hand side, you see a map that will show you a certain address. And on the right-hand side, it shows you that address with the new zoning. So on the left, it shows you current. On the right, it shows you new. And the white space on the bottom shows you the existing zoning standards and the new ones. It really works fabulously when you have an internet connection. I don't have one at the moment. So it's one of the tools that's on our website. If anybody's interested in following up on that, you can play around with it. And if you have a particular property you're curious about, this is a great way to start learning about what the new zoning code, how the new zoning code might change it. So do we have time? Should I entertain questions? Are there any questions? I've stunned them. Well, I don't see any. Do you want to close up, Glenn?
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much. I think Francoise will be here for a few minutes. So if any of you are too shy to say your questions out loud, you can talk to her. But this is the end of our conference. We are, again, so grateful that you all came, that you participated, that you spoke, that you listened, that you shared your thoughts. I think it's been, again, tremendously informative and inspiring. I think there are a lot of wonderful ideas that I hope we can continue moving forward on. If any of you missed parts of the conference because you went to one presentation and couldn't make it to the other presentation that was so interesting, keep checking on the makeovermontgomery2.com website. We are going to post all of the presentations, so you'll have a chance to take a look at some of the ones that you may have missed. They aren't all going to be done by Monday. It may take a week or two to do it, but do check the website. And again, thank you so much for coming.